If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the second week of finals here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name's Lauren Wood. I'm joined by John Anderson, Michael Warner and Scotty Gullen. And Scotty, I'm going to take a moment to gloat here. It's not very often that this happens. Well, I'm the only winner of the bunch.
We're not replaying any of my comments from last week, are we? I'll say is the strategy to sell us Josh Bruce when I thought he could play and then ship him off to us to cause us to lose that final was a genius ploy by St Kilda Football Club.
It was a long-range play, that one, I think. Although when he kicked that goal early and grabbed at the jumper, I thought...
Yeah, he went off a bit early, Josh.
That was interesting. But, Mick, geez, what a weekend of finals. There's been so much made of it, but I don't think we can talk about it enough. It was just wire-to-wire great footy.
No, it was brilliant. And Scotty, you did pick Collingwood. We talked about.
Yeah, I'm all across that. Me and Ando are across that.
That was an incredible game, wasn't it? Look, 35 points across the four games. I still got to say, you know, I'm captain negative, so let's go with it. 16 minute quarters still stink. And
I agree with that. Well, we win if it was a real quarter.
You can't say it was the greatest finals weekend in history if it's got an asterisk. So I applaud the football. I enjoyed it. But 16-minute quarters is not the Australian rules football that I grew up with.
They went in without, obviously, Jeremy Howell and Steele Sidebottom, so it's two very good players. But now the Eagles had some two very good players out as well. So it evened itself out. But it was a great game. Good on them. And it's the history says they probably won't go that much further. Typically, the sides that lose the first week do win the second week. Not all the time, but it normally happens. So I expect Richmond to prove that part of the equation right with Tom Lynch back. But I'm not quite so sure about the Geelong-Collingwood game.
We will look back at all of the games. We'll look forward as well. Keen to talk a little bit of trade later too, particularly in the Bombers space with Ando. But just quickly on Collingwood, Ando, an interesting trifecta that came out of the game afterwards. You mentioned there the talk about no one backed us, all that kind of stuff. Three really interesting ones that I noticed after the game was there was a tweet from the official Collingwood account that said, along those lines of, and no one said we could type thing, apart from our own Scotty Gullen, of course, who backed the Magpies in the paper. Then we had Scott Pendlebury both after the game and then the following day pulling out the Dirty Pies line and Kane Corns' comments about making up the numbers. And Jeremy Howe jumping on Twitter with a screenshot of Kane Corns' making up the numbers comments.
You know what I love about that part of it is that they treat Kane Corns like a scratchy, like, the viewers, no one takes Kane Corns seriously. Well, okay, Scott Pendlebury and Jeremy Howe, if you don't take him seriously, why are you worried about Kane's comments? Because obviously you do take him seriously. And it's all about building up this mentality of us against the world. And that's what every club wants. And Collingwood at the moment's owning that. But it counts for nothing when the whips get cracking and the real serious stuff. And they may get there. They were very good. I don't expect Mason Cox to be doing what he did again soon. But
I've seen that movie before.
You have, Mick. You saw it 2 years ago and it happened again the other night. You look at Tom Barrass. He looked like a midget standing next to Mason Cox, didn't he? He's not a small man. But just on that trade talk, Loz, I've got a very hot off the press, a very big story for you.
I think we might wait. We'll talk, talk a bit of finals first and we'll we'll keep Scotty waiting on that one. I know he's absolutely waiting with bated breath. But it just caught my eye about the Pies because, you know, all we're told all year, Scotty, is that they don't listen to anything we say and it's all in the four walls. And suddenly it was
Well, even like Matt Rendell had been on radio, I think, during the week and had been very vocal.
Yes, but did you notice the way that they played the game?
Yeah, they did what he told, what he said.
I'm sure.
Buckley sent him a message too after the game in a sort of...
Oh, did he?
That sort of thank you, that one's for you, sort of Matt Rendell style. So I think the Pies are very much across everything that's in the media, Loz.
Tell you what, if I was Geelong, I would be very nervous.
Well, what do they do, Mick? What do they do? Because you can't stick with the same formula again in finals. And we know the Cats will, you know, they'll be licking their wounds. But as Ando said, they don't typically lose straight sets finals teams, particularly like the Cats. But can they? Can the Pies actually win?
Well, they can, but Geelong against Port was simply about bad kicking. They were in the game. All the numbers would suggest that they could have won that match, except Tommy, who's been the best shot for goal all year from every angle, 0-5-1 out of bounds. I mean, he got the yips within 10 minutes. I couldn't work that out, Ando, what happened to Tommy. But
because he got the yips and he shouldn't have, because the two shots he took were literally on the boundary. Having said that, we've all seen him kick a number of those shots for goal from that side, from his right side, which he typically goes left to right with his kick, doesn't he? Yeah. And he missed them by a long way. That's probably what got in his head. And then he unbelievably played on and went the left foot snap. And I'm with you a bit like that. If he gets a couple of early shots against Collingwood and misses them, what's that do to his mindset?
Yeah, but when Calder Jasny missed that soda, well, it wasn't soda, but...
he's never kicked a goal in his career.
Stanley missed an easy one. You can't miss that many goals in a final. They lost by, 15 points, was it?
I had a long conversation with one of their players about an hour ago, a bloke who's potentially playing his last game on Saturday night. And I've got to say, I was I was more confident after speaking with him. That's Gary Ablett. We're doing a story for Saturday, but Gary's—he's not going to. Everything will be left on the field on Saturday night. I can assure you that. And he was bitterly disappointed in the way he played and the way the team played against Port Adelaide. And he said they've had very open discussions about it. But we said this last week. The most pressure on any club and any coach is Geelong and Chris Scott because of recent finals history.
What about throwing the elbow back again, though? I mean, he's lucky to get a fine. If he got suspended for that, and he was pretty close to being suspended, Ando.
Tom's had a history of doing silly things. It's silly time, you know, inopportune times. It's strange. I can't explain that because, as I've said previously, you don't meet a more genuine, pleasant young man than Tom Hawkins. So footy's different. You know, he gets a bit of anger. So I'm interested to see what they do with their selection this week. Ryan Myers, Scotty's been a really good player this year, but his last three games against Richmond, Sydney and Port Adelaide have been so far from his best. And he's a good footballer, Ryan Myers, but he looks cooked to me. And I think Brad Close is a real chance to come in. And Quinton Narkle is another one I would be looking at. He's been outstanding in their two practice games, most recent. And he just gives them a bit of pace. Port got him the pace the other night.
Yeah, leg speed's the issue. And that's why I'd be looking at the defence. And this is the problem. They tend to stick with what they know. But Henderson, Taylor, Collar, Jasny, Henry, a few of them got found out. So it's pretty top heavy. Mm-hmm. Collingwood bring what? Cox and Mychek, and that's it? You don't need one of them.
No, they're the Goey, they're Stevenson, they're small and quick.
Yeah, they're mediums.
So I think Jordan Clark's a player I'd look at. Jordan
Clark's should play, but.
I'm with you. Why isn't Jordan? He's got speed and he can play
speed.
Footy.
Bring Tui back to halfback if you have to, that's fine, and bring speed in. Because if they don't, Collingwood will get them and they'll just stick. What I fear is they'll stick to what has worked, which it didn't last week and it won't again.
No, I think that's lazy journalism, Scotty.
Lazy journalism. It's facts. I don't know. What, we're not supposed to bring it up? Well, that was a bit of a stretch from the coach. Although, and our man, poor old Simeon, was trying to get it out. I felt
it was gutsy. I thought he did well.
We've all been there where you know what you're trying to ask and then halfway through.
Intimidating sort of bloke.
I know. But anyway, Chris Scott, I mean, you can't bluff your way out of it. They're the facts.
What about his halftime what would you call it?
Razor?
Coach for totally the umpire. It was
What the hell is Ray Chamberlain doing at bouncing the ball?
It's a strange turn of events, wasn't it?
To the left of the – I mean, where's the statement from the AFL on that, by the way, that it's okay to give another team 1 meter advantage for no reason?
Exactly. So teams practice all year and then suddenly one person who's a megalomaniac in terms of his control of the game takes it into his own hands to move the spot where he's bouncing the ball. I mean, goodness sake, where does this bloke get off?
Yeah, but where's the AFL to say that was wrong? We don't.
They said it was okay. They ticked off on it. I couldn't believe that when I heard it.
He should just keep moving towards the half forward line gradually, and then eventually they say. Where's the point? Where's the line, Ando? Is it on the very edge of the circle? Come on. What?
Yeah, no, that's exactly. Mick, I was watching it and think, what the heck's going on? But
so I've come. Chris.
I thought
it was a crucial goal, crucial play. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't understand why, you know, like, so the argument I believe was that, you know, the centre's a bit soft, so I'm going to go to the left. Not tell anyone that I'm going to go to the left, but if the centre's a bit soft, just throw it up.
Exactly. And throw the ball up.
Well, I think it's part of a conspiracy to get rid of the bounce because that's what's happened. That's become, as a result of what he did, the get rid of the bounce is on the agenda. So I don't pretend to know what's in his mind, but I'm a conspiracist.
A longer game in play from Razor.
Did I tell you I've got a really good trade whisper?
I have heard on the grapevine, Ando. We'll just get through. We've got to get to Michael. I think we can't let Mick off the hook yet after his team's loss to Brisbane. It feels like a lifetime ago. Your
undisciplined
favorite.
Tigers, petulant, weren't they? Something, all these words have been used.
There's a lot of interesting – the thesaurus has been out, Scotty, I think, for the Tigers' ill discipline against the Lions. But bullied is another word I've seen thrown around by what the Lions dished out. But take us into your world, Mick. Where were you? What sort of space were you in on Friday night?
I was on the couch. My language was deplorable. And look, the moral of the story is that Richmond's best is still the best. I believe that. I'm not just saying that. Ando, I know you agree. But they played a really shocking game. In fact, I reckon the best seven players on the ground were probably wearing a Brisbane jumper. Short quarters didn't help us. I thought Brisbane absolutely tightened up, to be polite, towards the end. And if that Shai Bolton kick goes through, Richmond probably wins. And I also think that playing against St Kilda and Port, still playing, will probably benefit them rather than sitting in a hub. So I think that they're the premiership favourite.
The facts are, Rewald, without Tom Lynch, you were always going to struggle, really. I mean, it was pretty... I know everyone gets carried away by Richmond, but he's a pretty important cop.
They won a premiership without him, Scotty.
Yeah, I know. That was a couple of years ago, Ando.
I reckon Richmond and Geelong losing was the best thing that could happen to the finals. I think it just opened it up completely.
Yeah. And Brisbane are a lot better than last year, aren't they?
They are.
They're a pretty good side. I like a lot of their kids. I think Lee Matthews said a lot of their kids became men in that game.
Yep.
Just so that they can play at that level.
And their tools played well.
Yeah.
Forwards played well. Hipwood had I know he didn't convert, but Hipwood was a threat all, you know, he was a target all night, which is what they needed. They can win the premiership, of course they can. I love the game of Lachie Neale. I mean, I think I said it to you last week that Lachie Neale at times has been bullied by bigger body blokes. He's not a big man himself, and he goes possessionless in the first quarter. And then arguably after that was as good as any player on the ground. So, you know, he's become a champion of his club, hasn't he, Lachie Neale?
Yeah.
And
100-metre penalty helps. But
It did. That was stupid, though.
You might be the only team, Mick, to have given away the old 100 this year. I think there was one earlier on as well. Is that beginning to worry you?
Hasn't changed a nappy in 6 weeks.
That's it. Parker will be he'll be toilet trained by the time this sort of trend ends at this rate. Just quickly on Richmond, Ando, before we move on, of the three flag, well, it could be three, I should say. Ooh, if they win the third, if they win the third, and they've got to get past my dominant team first, of course. But would it be the best one, given, do you think, everything that they've endured?
A lot of that's their own fault, though, what they've endured, isn't it? So I'm not going to give them any extra credits, but if they go on to win a premiership because they've had blokes who've been stuffy up all year. No, I don't,
just with losing to Brisbane and then, you know, the path they've had to take.
Okay, different route to the grand final, albeit in a shortened season with shortened quarters. Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how we all look back in years to come and view this particular season. But it's
not if Richmond win, you won't look back at it at all, Ando.
Obviously, then we'll put the asterisks on it, Mick, will we? That's how we'll play it. Who would you... If you weren't barracking for Richmond, Mick, who would you want to win this year's premiership now?
Brisbane.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide for me. Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
I'd be Brisbane. I think just the whole story of Chris Fagan and the season being played up there, I think it'd be great for the Lions.
Yeah. I think I'd love St Kilda, as I've said before, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But I tell you what, if there's any side with the world against us mentality to use, well, St Kilda, because their side has been totally written off, not Collingwood last week, St Kilda this week.
Well, without, obviously, Paddy Ryder's out, Jake Carlisle's heading to Moama for the birth of his third child. Ben Long, I mean, you'd say he's got more than one foot out of the side at this point. They're going to appeal his suspension on Wednesday night, but I think it's looking pretty grim for him. But, of course, the Saints will play your team, Mick, for the first time in a final since 1973, which is incredible for two sort of Melbourne clubs to go that long without meeting in a final. But then you look at both of our records over the last sort of 40 years or so. It probably makes sense. But you're our neutral observer here. I won't go to Scotty on this because I know he would have been tearing his hair out like I was at about 6 o'clock on Saturday night. But... Geez, Max King, he just looked so dominant, didn't he?
Yeah, he's going to be a superstar, but not this year. Paddy Ryder was such a cruel blow, 1 minute 37 to go. Can you believe that? His first finals win in his whole 200.
He was very good too.
All the stuff he's had to put up with, including Scotty's front page story with him many years ago when he left to go to Port Adelaide. Hanbury was good. Hanbury's come good.
Hanbury was very good.
And we should learn our lesson in writing teams off. So it'll be an interesting game. Metricon was a good move by the Tigers, 400 metres away from their hub compared to 3 hours by bus for the other team.
That 400 metres for you and 400 kilometres for St Kilda.
Yeah, that's a bit harsh.
But Ando, I won't make you wait any longer. You've teased us. You've teased us long enough on this trade news, and let it be known, I don't actually know what this trade news is. So this is genuine news to all of us as well. We like to keep it fresh and sort of not discuss too much before we come together for the Herald Sun Footy podcast. But it's, of course, the talk of the town, particularly for teams that have bowed out of the finals series already. And Ando, is it a big club? Would I be right in guessing that?
We had a discussion last week. I think we're talking about the clubs that didn't make it. And of those teams outside the eight, the 10 sides, who's most likely to make an impact next year? And I'm not sure what you three thought, but I was clear that certainly on the Carlton bandwagon. But they've got three areas they needed to fill. One's a midfielder with wheels, someone who can run with the ball, who can kick the ball. His name's Zach Williams. Another was a small forward. And obviously they tried to get Tom Papley last year. They haven't filled that void as yet. I know they're playing different. Zach Fisher was playing a bit there, but they still need that sort of player. And the other one's a running defender. Well, I think they might have solved that problem because my information is that a guy called Adam Saad has decided to join Carlton. He's nominated Carlton as the club he wants to play with for the next 5 years at a figure of around, okay, you three have a guess. What figure would he be on?
Well, Carlton pay overs. He'd be on. He'd probably have to get 700 a year to go there. Probably.
You're not bad, Scotty. My understanding is at 650.
Yeah.
And now, of course, the clubs have to deal. I think Carlton's Damien Tardau, our producer, will know exactly, but I think their first pick is pick 7, and Essendon will want pick 7. Well, last year that was Tom Papley, they wanted their first pick, which was pick 9, I think.
So I don't give 7 up for Adam Sard, sorry.
Okay, so it's either pick 7 or a player, and I reckon Essendon will match that figure. In fact, I'm pretty sure they would. So Carlton's going to have to get the deal done with a player or pick 7 or a second-round draft pick with a player. And I'm not sure who that player is because they've re-signed a lot of their players in the past month.
Well, good mail, Ando. I tell you what, if Adrian Dodoro is involved, it will be pick 7, Scotty, because
the deal won't get done, poor old Adrian. God love him.
I would probably do pick 7. I reckon...
For a running halfback flanker.
Well,
Richard, who you'd say is...
For getting Prestia with pick 6. But sometimes if you want the player, you just give away the pick. And
how important... I'm with you, Mick, but how important in today's footy is a running back? I mean,
very massive.
And they have been for a long time, but I think never more important than now. And he's one of the better exponents of that style of play. He's been the top 3 or 4 in the game when he's right.
So I think the other flank.
Yeah, and Nick Newman to come back, of course, because he missed the whole season. So they can really go. Yeah, it's
it'd be big place if they people want to go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're. Yeah. Yep, it is. And imagine if Danaher announces his departure on top of that, so that'd be a disaster. I don't know what's happening with Danaher though, so I'm not speaking on him.
I think he's still camping, isn't he? Out in sort of central Queensland, is that right?
Come on, Bush. Be interesting.
Half his luck. Half his luck being able to live freely.
He knows what he's doing, Joe Danaher. He's already decided. Yes. It's just, and he firmly knows where he wants to go. And that, to me, from outside, that deal's already just about been done.
He's made a lot of phone calls to a lot of different clubs.
Has he?
People that he knows at various clubs, because the tree is long. He's been ringing them. What's the place like, et cetera, et cetera. So he's not staying. So
go on, Bush, but make sure you go somewhere with phone reception. That's very clever. He's a clever man,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Still on the trade front. Before we just get to a few of the teams that have departed the final series. Sean Higgins has been an interesting one. Obviously, there was a bit of talk about him last year. And he's spoken earlier today about his plans for 2021. Pretty much left the door open, Ando. He's sort of saying that, whatever will be, and he'll, resume the talks when he gets back to Melbourne. But sounds like he's pretty open to leaving, and that your club, Geelong, could potentially be the place for him. Could he be the sort of natural replacement for your man, Gary?
Yeah, why not? Well, I think in some ways Sean's probably playing better footy now than Gary is. I mean, we've only seen Gary for, 6 or 7 games this year. Sean Higgins is a beautiful footballer, isn't he? Really is. He's got so much time and he's poised and the delivery and decision-making, and he can play forward and he can play midfield. So, Geelong will be desperate to get him. But he's contracted for another year, isn't he?
Yeah. Are they filming an episode of Cocoon down there at the Cattery, are they?
What is Sean Higgins? He's 33, isn't he?
There's a lot of guys with a 3 in front there. And
Sean Higgins, he should always have played at Geelong, Sean Higgins. He's a St. Joey's boy.
He'd never have left the Dogs.
Well,
he couldn't get on the park with us. We had to let him go. We had to win premierships without him.
So he's to homecoming, is it, Ando?
I think I'd be surprised.
His sister
plays for
the women's team. So it's a homecoming.
I think he might still have a house in Geelong, Sean Higgins. So I think that'll happen.
On his way back to Melbourne, and it sounds like the things will ramp up pretty quickly once he gets back home. But Scotty, I mentioned the teams that have bowed out of the final series. We've been doing the whip around of the bottom clubs, and obviously West Coast and the Western Bulldogs have joined them over the weekend. But what did you make of the Eagles? Unfortunately, as we sit here recording today, they're all forced into quarantine for another week. But how did you see the end of their season?
Oh, I think they never – injuries crueled them in the end. I mean, I know they got all those players back for the final, but they didn't seem to – they sooked it up early and then got on a bit of a run when they came home. But They never seem to be totally settled. I mean, looking forward, Loz, they're in a very good spot. I mean, who are they going to lose? Schofield retired. Everyone else is young and hungry. You know, Netanui, peak of his powers. Kelly will be better for a year there. I wouldn't be too worried if I'm a West Coast Eagles fan about what happens next year.
Kelly was interesting this year, wasn't he? You look at Tim Kelly last year, and Mick will remember the first half of the prelim final when I think he kicked three, and he was clearly bowed. Yeah, but I'm talking about Tim Kelly, not about the footy club you kept going on about. But I don't reckon Tim Kelly. He probably had three or four games where he played like he played last year, but he played well at times, but not consistently.
No,
as good a footballer as the whole team, really. The net team never really got going.
No.
No, and Scotty, I take debate a bit with what you said about how they're young. You know, they've got players.
Well, Kennedy's old, yeah. I know what you mean.
Shannon Hearn's been here a long time.
But they don't look like they're about to fall off the perch next year, though. I know what you're saying, though. It's coming.
They didn't handle
COVID very well. Let's be
honest. They sucked it up when they went to Queensland. So they're already a fair way behind.
They need an injection of youth. They really do. They need two, you know, really good young players. And you know, Jared Brander was someone who looked okay.
Willie's their best young
player. Yeah, he's been good. Yeah. Willie Rioli's been a massive out for them. Massive. Yeah.
What's going on with him?
But Ryan's, he's just waiting for his results, Mike.
Well, how long is that going
to take? Well, hopefully he, I mean, he should be playing football, Willie Rioli. I know the law doesn't say that he can, but for my understanding is, he made a terrible mistake, didn't he? And you have Rioli and Ryan in the same forward line. It's just, Ryan made that game the other night, but you think
Ryan's progression this year has been one of the highlights. I just thought he was a take a hanger forward pocket. He's a legit midfielder when he goes in there and changes the game. He was the revelation for me this year.
You know, with a minute to go or 2 minutes to go, he's taking a big hanger in the back line the other night.
He's been amazing. He's
an extraordinary footballer, but Rioli's been massive for them. They do need a couple of kids to come through for them.
No, I agree with that.
Who's the guy with the detective's name? Petrocelli.
He got injured.
No, he can play, Scott. I like his speed.
Bit of leg speed.
But he doesn't get in their best team all the time, does he?
And what about the bloke from the Pines they've got, the big bloke?
The Pines?
Yeah, big ruckman. Bailey? Yeah. I love the Maynard on Liam Ryan, by the way. He's a good player, Maynard, isn't he?
That was one of the best matchups of the weekend, I reckon.
Yeah.
Maynard sort of plays footy the way you kind of want you play to play, doesn't he?
Just we want Charlie Warner to end up like Maynard.
There's not many Maynards, though, are there? He's a mean son of a gun, isn't he, Maynard? If I lined up on him, I'd just put a white flag up. I wouldn't touch he'd be a happy boy, Greg Maynard, because he had the turnover late in the game and Andrew Gaff tackled him and smothered the ball, and Ryan picked it up and passed it to Darling. So
what about when Ryan showed him the ball?
There would have been a bit of interaction between those two during the game.
you wouldn't mind them being mic'd up, actually.
I think Liam Ryan in 2018 grand final in the third quarter, who might have perhaps not gone quite as hard as he would have wanted to. He doesn't play footy like that now, but the college players would have been into him about that, don't worry.
What about the Western Bulldogs too? I found it really interesting this morning. I was going for my my one permitted trip to the shops per day, jumped in the car and had SEN on in the car on the way to the short trip to Coles. And I was a bit shocked when I heard this voice come through talking about the Western Bulldogs. Have a quick listen to this one.
You especially continually talk about individual players. The game's made up of a team, and it's made up of your role in a team. Now, to say, I look at that and you sort of say something about a jigsaw puzzle that Beveridge has got everyone, what was the word you used? convinced.
I think he does a brilliant job. I think he's got a thousand. He's trying to make a thousand piece jigsaw puzzle with 920 pieces, and he does it like few others could to have them in, to have them in finals at the moment. But to finish top four is they don't have. It's only my opinion. They don't have the pieces yet.
Well,
so they're
okay.
going to need to trade for them or to bring them in.
This is my opinion. We're a couple of players short, and Bruce and Keith are first-year players, really. They've got to work in conjunction. And when you play in a key position area, back or forward, takes a fair ask Luke Hodge, who just had on TV, on radio. It takes a while for the cohesion of the group to work together. And I just think we're one or two players short. And then you sort of, I mean, I look at this. How can you? So is Aaron Norton nothing? Is Tim English nothing? Aaron Norton, oh, give me Aaron Norton any day over Tom Hawkins right here, right now. Because have a look at their finals. You talk about finals. Aaron Norton's game, he just come off from a broken cheekbone and he's had a really good last quarter. We took three big pack marks and nearly won the game for us. Took him a while to get going. Tom Hawkins hasn't had he's kicked five behinds and was beaten by a player who was let go of another club from Gold Coast and has done an amazing job going to Port Adelaide. So I just think your comments were flawed yesterday, and I don't listen to your radio station, but a mate of mine rang me and I thought, I believe strongly in this, and I've never rang you up before and mentioned this, and I thought, no, I think Bevo's doing a great job, and we're a couple of players short, and how hard you went on us yesterday. My understanding from a friend of mine is totally out of line.
So Tony Liberatore has called in to SEN this morning to defend your club, Scotty. You don't see that every day.
No, I'm very pleased the Brownlow medalist's passion came through and put Jared back in his box. But, I think overall the Dogs were disappointing I think we've got a few more things that are going to improve that Jared wasn't taking into account, like Air Norton, for example.
You need a power forward and you need a big ruckman to help.
Well, poor old Tim English was – that game against Essendon a couple of months ago was unbelievable. But in between that, he struggles to compete when he has to in big games. I think he's tired and he got shown up by Ryder and Marshall. So that hurt. I mean, Keith got Keith over for a reason. He'd been okay. Got Bruce over for the reason he'd been terrible. So there's a few holes still, but I'm not doom and gloom about the Dogs.
Where's Shacky at, Scotty?
He'll be resting in Gippsland, wherever he is, when he gets delisted, unless he's got a contract. Yes. I mean, you can't persevere with him. He's mentally, he's not the strongest. It hasn't worked. We've got Norton. We don't need another one. And
you do, but not of that side. You need a big, big, strong full forward.
Can Tim English play as a key forward?
Probably not. I mean, he kicks a goal. He shows a bit of craft up there when he goes there.
He took a few good marks, didn't he? But that was probably 15 down as a ruckman.
Yeah.
More than playing as a key position. Forward, which are different
roles. He needs help. He needs a big body to help him. And that's what they need to focus on.
This is really interesting by you, Mick, of course, in the Tuesday Herald Sun about Paddy's future and where he'll be. So he'll need an AFL tick-off, is that right?
Yes, they've said that because of his concussion history that they'll want to work with whichever club decides that they want to take a risk on him. And I don't know what exactly that means, whether they have to independently assess him. But if you had asked me to have a guess, because I don't know, I reckon they'll block his return. I don't think that the
AFL...
How
can they? How can they prove that he hasn't recovered?
Well, I'm just speculating, but I think when you've had to walk away with eight, it would be a big call.
But I think, surely he can sign a waiver to say, I take it all under my responsibility.
I reckon I'm with Mick. I reckon, Scotty, if you find an athlete who's had repeated concussions and has been able to overcome it in the history of any sport, it just doesn't happen, sadly. And I hope like heck I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about Will Bukowski in cricket as well for the same reasons. But if you've got a propensity to go down that path, and gee, playing footy is not exactly the best area, is it? And you think of the knocks you're going to get to the head.
But He's been around the world. He's got the best advice. If he physically shows he's ready, I'd have him in my team in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, they war room these things, the AFL, and I just think if they're thinking about what if he got poleaxed in his first game and, you know.
Well, then he retires and he had a crack and it all went wrong.
And have they got Sean Smith front of mind? Do you think
Danny Frawley.
He had his big payout and Danny Frawley?
Ollie Farmer. I mean, it's
a dicey road to restrict someone from playing their job without proof.
Is.
It's a dicey road to let them play.
And yeah, I agree. I agree.
See what's going to happen. So it's an extremely delicate situation, isn't it?
Well, make the call. Andrew Dillon, the legal guy, the AFL League General Counsel, and Peter Harcourt, the medical boss, they would be the two that would have to decide together because it's a legal and a medical issue. And I would be surprised personally if they approve it.
Well, the good news is he's got his life back together. Clearly he's fit and healthy, so that's a massive plus for where he was a long time ago.
How good a player is he, Scotty?
He's a gun. He's one of the best natural marks I've seen. I mean, you know, the Petrarca-him debate, that was unfair. They probably went the wrong way because they were trying to replace Riewoldt. But as far as natural marking footballers, and you know what I mean, Nando, he's a gun. So yep. And at 24, if he can prove that he's over it, he is an absolute bargain.
A lot of layers to that one, and I think it'll be one to keep a very close eye on over the next few months as obviously Paddy weighs up what he's going to do and clubs weigh up whether to take the risk on him. But, Scotty, we've got to let you get to John Noble. You're catching up with Collingwood semi-finalist John Noble after he's returned from Western Australia. So we've got to let you get to that, but Kev, you got to whisper for us just before you go.
Yes. Now, Ando, you know, Don Scott, I think, was the most famous example of great players not getting on necessarily with teammates, that Hawthorn team. I think you'll find there might be a similar tale, maybe not in the Don Scott era, but in a premiership contender, there's a couple of big names who, I'm told, are not friendly at all. They get on the business, they play, and they win a lot. But away from the park, they're not in each other's Christmas card list anymore.
So we're talking like an Andrew McLeod, Tyson Edwards type situation?
Yes, similar like that, yes.
Well, they didn't speak at all, did they? Edwards and McLeod still don't.
I don't think it's quite reached that yet, but it's heading in that direction.
Is it, so are we thinking Victorian base club, Scott?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, probably that's right, John.
Not at the moment, but normally.
Well, no one is at the moment, are they? No.
I think, if you stick around Victoria, you'd find the right club.
Can we hang up and find out who it is?
We might have to do that. Well, let Scotty catch up with Johnny Noble first.
Chandler Adams was so good to come up and get that smother. Maybe the handball wasn't there to Archie. He's under pressure, frontal pressure.
What a story this is. This might be as good a win as Collingwood have had since the 2010 Grand Final. The siren's going to sound. They've won it. The unwinnable game.
The Herald Sun Footy Podcast. We've got John Noble on the line. Now, where do I find you? Because you've been all around the countryside. Where are you right now?
Back in Queensland, mate. We're back at Twin Waters, our other base.
How is Perth? I mean, we'll get to the match, but you weren't sleeping in the car park, were you, like a few of your staff?
No, I wasn't. I was lucky enough to get a room.
How was it? I mean, that was an amazing victory, but I'm interested in the us against them mentality that, you know, you were called dirty pies and everything. What was that like in the lead up? You really seemed to galvanise the group.
To us, it's a lot of external noise. You know, we've got bigger things to worry about than what the media are doing or what other people are calling us while we're over there. So, you know, for us, it was just that we went over there to get a job done. We got it done. So that was probably the most pleasing thing.
Now, I was going to say it's probably the loudest crowd you've played against, but then really you've only played 21 games, but a couple of those were finals. So, but from watching on the TV, it was maybe we hadn't heard the crowd for that long, John, that it seemed a bit over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you go from playing in front of no crowds to a little bit to 32 over there. I mean, it wasn't full, but geez, it sounded full. It's a very hostile crowd over there, and they were certainly loud. And yeah, it's funny because, like I said before, it's, from having no crowds, any crowd sounds loud at the moment. So yeah, it was difficult with actually communicating because it's a seriously loud stadium.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, just like you said, getting everyone aligned and being a defender, you need that communication. And when the Mad Eagles are going crazy, that's difficult.
It is. It is. It certainly has its challenges. But, I mean, it's funny because there's a synergy. There's a synergy on the field, obviously, with players and mids and forwards. But our backs were very tight groups. Our chemistry, you know, through the roof. So it doesn't take much to sort of get us aligned at the moment, which is very, very helpful when you're playing in front of crowds like that.
It's a bit not unfashionable, but, you know, you got Isaac and Jack Madgen and yourself, you know, pretty new faces in there with obviously Maury and Maynard and Chris, but it's a new sort of outfit.
It is. It is, actually. But it's a fresh, new, you know, each of those players have their strengths that they bring to the table, and we really bounce off each other and make that work. You know, we sort of, you know, since Howie has unfortunate injury, he's been instrumental with some things that he's doing with us off the field, and we sort of talk about ourselves as being a back nine because, you know, we do a lot of work to support each other, not just for ourselves. So, you know, we're a very connected group, very strong group, and, you know, I think we complement each other really well.
Now, talk to me about the other end, the big American. I mean, he loves the big stage. That swagger, 3 in 3 minutes. Talk to me a bit about Coxie. He clearly thrives in that sort of environment.
Yeah, he's an awesome player when he's up and about. I mean, he's built for the big stage. He's full of confidence at the moment, and why wouldn't he? I mean, he's playing some incredible footy for us. Been vital for, you know, our past back half of the footy season, home and away season, and then coming to the finals, he's going to play a pivotal role in how far we go. And to have him up and about at the moment is amazing. Like you said, he's built for the big stage. He's a big character. He's an amazing person, and I love playing with him.
How many times has he talked about those 3 goals, Sid? I mean, it seems like he'd like to tell you about it more and more. He told the crowd about it anyway.
Yeah, he did a good job of that. He's pretty modest when he's off the field. I mean, he's got a big character on the field, but he's a modest player off the field, and that's you know, you understand that more the more you spend time with him. And but yeah, that's a part of his character, part of a footy player. I mean, everyone's got their own profile and how they go about it, and he's an amazing person from where he's come from and what he's been able to achieve so far in his career. And again, he loves the big stage, and why wouldn't you when you perform like that?
Absolutely. Now, Hub Life, mate, you're probably used to the insanity of it now. What's been the hardest part, and have you found a new skill, or what have you done to keep yourself basically sane?
Yeah, it's certainly presented its challenges. I mean, I think the biggest thing is being away from your support network, whether that be friends or family. You know, you have periods where you certainly miss them in you know, being there physically for them, not just over the phone. You know, you sort of get sick of phone calls here and there. So, you know, you change it up with a FaceTime to see their face. But, I mean, it's been amazing being away with a group that you trust so much. And, you know, we've got a very family-type culture at the Pies, and everyone buys into that, whether it's players, staff, coaches. It really flourishes throughout the club, and to have families that have been coming up and joining the players has been amazing to get to know different people and children of all ages, which has been, you know, it breaks the routine up a bit. You know, things that keep you busy. I mean, there's plenty of golf in Perth. We stayed on a golf course, which was handy. Lucky enough to be
here.
The handicap's going well. It's going down. I mean, I'm playing that March. It should be going down. But, yeah, I mean, there's different little things you do along the way to sort of, you know, break the routine up, whether it be playing cards, whether it be I play guitar for 12-15 years, so that's been nice to sort of just tick along away with that. Yeah, different things, you hang out with different people, different groups, so it's been good. For me personally, it's been another opportunity for me to sort of build my relationship with the club as a whole. Coming in obviously halfway through last year, I didn't have a lot of time, but for me it's been a great opportunity to sort of build my relationships again.
Have you had to do requests on the guitar? Are there any singers in the group? Are you called on to back them up?
No, not lately. I haven't really been playing in front of players. Actually, I mean, Travi can play. Doc can play. He's a freak at the guitar. Actually, he's very good. So I've played with them a couple of times, but we haven't really pulled it out in front of the boys yet. It might come out towards the end of our campaign, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I see Darcy Moore's now a hairdresser as well, and he got hold of yours.
Yeah, he's loving that at the moment. It's really taken off. It went from one haircut to two to seven to ten. So he's built up a little bit of a reputation at the moment. And to be fair, he's been pretty good. So, I mean, for a haircut, you can't go wrong when you're an ISO. So.
Yeah, anything goes.
Yeah, anything goes.
Just like one last one on the Cats. I mean, you've got a great history against them, but are you guys, everyone points to the Bulldogs, you know, they won it from eighth, and do you feel like it's clicking and this group can do anything? Is that sort of Bucks' sort of message?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a lot of belief in the back half of the footy that we were sort of putting together in the home and away season, and we certainly took that over to Perth with a lot of confidence, and we were quite optimistic with what we could do over there, and we still are with what we can do with Geelong, and that's our next step in the path that we want to take, and ultimately we want to achieve what is obvious, but you know, we don't want to look too far ahead. You know, we live in the now, we live in the moment constantly with little things that we can do to get better, and you know, we're very, like I said, optimistic with what we can do. We're very confident, we've got a lot of belief in our group at the moment with the footy that we're putting on the park, and yeah, we're ready to knuckle down and get into Geelong. We'll do our review, learn from, you know, past games that we've played against them, and we'll take them head on.
Clearly your personal motivation is to come up against your old man in the prelim. Your father David, who's Brisbane's footy boss. That will be interesting.
It will be, but again, I don't want to look too far forward.
No, you're not allowed to.
Nah, I mean, you can, but you can't. So, we've got to get one more job done to get there, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Perfect, John. Mate, thanks for joining the Herald Sun podcast. Many, many thanks.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We've got two finals this weekend, boys. Of course, Collingwood taking on Geelong and Richmond and the Saints. Just very, very quickly, Ando, we'll start with you. Give us your two tips.
Well, I think people should listen to me after last week because I tipped none from four. So clearly I'm a total genius of the game. None from four, seriously. Predictably, I'll go bloody the Cats and the Tigers for me, the two forms of Cats, yeah.
Mick?
Collingwood and Richmond.
The powerhouses. What about you, Scotty?
Richmond may win that one comfortably, and I think Geelong will hopefully recalibrate themselves and get over Collingwood.
Yeah, I agree. I think Geelong will be back on track, and I'm going to have a bit each way because I figure if I tip Richmond and Richmond win, I can be happy because I've got my tip right.
You're going for the crown, are you? Are you in the running?
Kilda, mate. I don't think I'm quite in the running, but I can hunt glory here on the podcast, if nothing else. So, no, it should be another cracking weekend of action, and we'll be all across it next week. So we'll see you then.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.